often termed the jelly sandwich model.
CU's Dr. Peter Molnar just won the prestigious Crawford Prize in Geosciences.
It's like the upper crust is one piece of bread and the uppermost piece of mantle is another piece of bread, and then the weak crust in the middle is jelly.
His dad taught him that if you really understand something, you can explain it simply. Learn more about the world around you on KGNU's science show, How on Earth, which airs every Tuesday right before Alan Watts.
Good evening. This is Chris Moore with KGNU's Opera Box, and today we have something very special. We'll be hearing excerpts from Britten's Gloriana. Benjamin Britten was a homosexual back in the times when it was not okay to be that. He lived with Peter Pears, the great tenor, and wrote a lot of music for him. And he also wrote a number of operas of varying degrees of success during his lifetime. Perhaps one of his most successful was The Midsummer Night's Dream. Everybody loves that opera. They did in the beginning, and they still do. One of his most controversial ones actually came out in 1953 when Queen Elizabeth II ascended to the throne. So that's, what, 64, 65 years ago now. And Benjamin Britten was hired to write an opera which everybody figured would be part of the grand pageantry of bringing the new queen onto the throne. He decided to do a story, actually, of Elizabeth I. But that is not what the world got. Well, they got Elizabeth I, but not with all the pageantry. This was dedicated to the gracious permission of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, in honor of whose coronation it was composed. It got its first performance at the Royal Opera House of Covent Garden, but, as Britten said to one of his good friends, you didn't miss much on Monday night, because the gala was a shocking occasion, an audience of stuck pigs, but I hope you will see the opera later under more auspicious circumstances. It hit the headlines, all right, not only at home, but also overseas, more specifically in New York. Music fit for a queen, said the New York Herald Tribune of 14th June, and accompanied the question with a headline across three columns, Britten Opera Stirs Storm. The paper's correspondent, Joseph Newman, explained that everyone expected Gloriana to be a tribute to the new sovereign, a glorification of Elizabeth I, which would serve as a glorification of Elizabeth II. It would ring up the curtain on a new Elizabethan age. It turned out to be nothing of the kind. Instead of pursuing and elaborating the sweet fairy tale mood which had been woven round the streets of London and in the nation's press, Benjamin Britten, the very controversial homosexual, the pacifist who resisted World War II, now shattered it again, bringing to life the full-blooded, down-to-earth tragedy of Elizabeth I, torn between her illicit love for a man who had betrayed the state and her duty as a queen to execute him. So this story has a lot more meat to it than was expected from Benjamin Britten at that time, to say the least. Let's listen to the final scenes with Josephine Bairstow as our queen and others like Robert Devereux, Francis, and sung by Philip Langridge, Della Jones, Jonathan Summers, Yvonne Kenny, Alan Opie, Richard Van Allen, Bryn Terfel, and others in this great performance now of excerpts from Benjamin Britten's Gloriana, the grand finale.
Thank you. Christ.
I cannot wait.
Queen, my lord, cannot receive you now.
She must. Oh, give me leave to speak. Give me leave to speak.
Oh, pray be brief. The day is not yet begun. Because you're here, when knocks alone have right of all time.
Unfit!
Oh, you're not! drink and refresh you. Thank you.
still a rebel, and Ireland not yet ours. But ours, that might be Spain's, might easily be France's. For want of forthright action, he forfeited his chances. And now it is September, too late for new campaigning, and now he's here in England with hangers on and unruly. Oh, Adela for trouble, Madam, I see a certain danger. I see a certain danger.
Think of the waste.
And now hath bounded from his cage.
What can he mean? What can he mean?
This is
And snatch the leavings from the pod.
Yeah. but Robert Devereux, Earl of Essex, erstwhile Lord Deputy in Ireland, having risen against the crown and realm of England, is this day proclaimed traitor. Any man giving him aid by word or deed will be guilty of treason. Oh, yes, oh, yes. In the name of the Queen.
Essex, a traitor. Guilty of treason.
There's trouble ahead. There always is.
But the Queen,
the Queen. What will she do? Sought whom to devour, but he mistook the time to spring, mistook his pride for power. Down in the dust soon fall he must, for dire is the day and dread the your throat. There's work for you, my boy. Work, work, work.
Of what? yet defer the deed. The day, but not the deed.
She long be laid to seal the tomb
of the northern heirs and the Queen of Scots.
Majesty, the verdict was unanimous.
After trial, the court has found the Earl of Essex guilty of treason.
The truth.
duty crave audience of their sovereign.
Bows her head and kneels.
To be advised, he greatly erred, but let the father of my children live. If
Obtained the victory over two things, which the greatest princes cannot at their will subdue. The one is over fame. The other is over a great mind. Surely the world is now, I hope, reasonably satisfied.
Even to hear of me, which to traitors you never did. What remains is only to beseech you to conclude my punishment, my misery, and my life.
May he not be told your majesty's pleasure? Will it not please your majesty to name the successor to your throne?
I can by no means endure a winding sheet held up before mine eyes while yet I live. ever used to set the last judgment day before mine eyes. And when I have to answer the highest judge, I mean to plead that never thought was cherished in my heart that tended not to my people's good. I count it the glory of my crown that I have reigned with your love. And there is no jewel that I prefer before that jewel. Neither do I desire to live longer days than that I may see your prosperity, and that's my only desire.
Madam, you must go to bed.
The word must is not to be used to princes. Little man, you durst not have said it, but you know I must die.
I wish your majesty long life.
I see no weighty reason that I should be fond to live or fear.
The final scenes of Gloriana by Benjamin Britten in honor of Queen Elizabeth II and her coronation in 1953, a highly controversial opera because it brought forth the illicit affair of Queen Elizabeth I and her need to decide between the state's requirement that she execute her lover for not being supportive of the state, for treason in essence, and, of course, her love. In the end, she ends up choosing the execution and serving the state that she represents. Queen Elizabeth I, sung by Josephine Barstow, also Philip Langridge, Della Jones, Jonathan Summers, Yvonne Kenny, Alan Opie, Richard Van Allen, and others, Sir Charles McCarris and the orchestra and chorus of the Welsh National Opera. On KGNU's Opera Box, this is Chris Moore. Thanks very much for listening today. I would like to mention that something completely different, Always Patsy Cline, taking place at BDT Stage or Boulder's Dinner Theater. Do check it out. It's a delightful work, lots of fun, and also kind of heartbreaking sometimes as well. Again, this is Chris Moore, and this is Opera Box. We will see you next week.
Support for KGNU comes from the Boulder Marriott, offering room accommodations and Colorado dining in Canyon's Restaurant. Details at bouldermarriotthotel.com.
Support comes from Boulder Arts Week. The 5th Annual Boulder Arts Week will take place March 30th through April 7th at venues throughout the city. Celebrating Boulder artists, arts, and culture, Boulder Arts Week will feature art walks, exhibitions, dance, public art, and more. More information at boulderartsweek.org.
This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. It's 1 minute after 8 o'clock. That means it's time for a classic Monday, continuing our classical art music Monday evening, as we always do. Hi, I'm Gary McBride. I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. This evening, featuring music chosen by Stephen Hawking. As you no doubt know by now, the great physicist shuffled off this mortal coil just a couple weeks ago. And I think it's safe to say that he was the Einstein of our age. He was certainly a revered scientist and also a great music lover. In 1992, the physicist was a guest on BBC Radio 4's famous long-running Desert Island Discs program to narrow down a list of music he would take to that mythical island. If you only had a few pieces of music to listen to, what would it be? And except for a couple of pop songs, he chose classical works, and among them, masterpieces by Mozart, Beethoven, and Brahms that we will be listening to this evening. Then, at the Aspen Music Festival in 1995, Stephen Hawking first heard Francis Poulenc's Gloria, considered by many the composer's masterpiece. Quote, "You can sit in your office in the physics center there and hear the music without ever buying a ticket," he said. "But on this occasion, I was actually in the tent to hear the Gloria. It is one of a small number of works I consider great music." So let's start this evening of music chosen by Stephen Hawking with Francis Poulenc's masterpiece, Gloria. We will hear the mighty Boston Symphony Orchestra conducted by Seiji Ozawa and the Tanglewood Festival Chorus conducted and led by John Oliver.